in today's discussion, we're going to take a look at science, see what science has to say about this particular topic. We're going to look at some reasons behind our avoidance, and then we're going to most certainly leave you with some solutions that you can utilize to start to break these trends. Let's face it, let us face this together. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Your Thought Life podcast. I'm your host, Michael Anderson. On this podcast, we help people overcome mindset challenges to fast track personal and professional success. If you haven't already, take a moment after you've enjoyed the program today, and wherever you listen to us, please consider leaving us a rating and a review to help us grow the channel for all of those folks who are seeking this style of content. Thank you so much in advance and for your support of the podcast. Our topic for today is, what are you avoiding? We all have things that we enjoy doing, and there are things that we don't enjoy doing, so much so that we enter into avoidance. There's an abundance of information that's been published on this topic. Consider this. In the pursuit of success, we often encounter obstacles that challenge our determination. Determination is that inner fortitude that says keep on going despite what you were just presented with. There's one obstacle that's particularly dangerous, and that is our topic for today, avoidance. Whether it's procrastination, or some sort of daunting task, or getting sidestepped because of you're in this uncomfortable state, or maybe there's a conversation that is going to make you or force you to get outside of where everything is warm and fuzzy and known. All of these things come in to attempt to sabotage our progress and hinder our ability to move forward. You've seen it before. You're having a fantastic day, and your boss comes to you via email or maybe to your desk if you're still in the office, and he's got this special project for you. Yeah, I know a lot of you guys are resonating with this, and this special project is totally not what you're accustomed to. It's way outside of the day-to-day that you've become established within. And when you start to think about how you're going to deal with it, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know what, I'll deal with this tomorrow, and after tomorrow, I'll be in here with a clear head. And you do that, you go home, you come back, and you start down this same rabbit hole of kicking the can a little bit further, doing a little bit of procrastination. Procrastination is the gateway into full-blown avoidance. When you find yourself doing this, that's the time to raise the alarm. That's the time for you to raise your own white flag that says, I'm not doing this. I got to stop it right now. I got to get on this task and start overcoming the fears and the resistance that I have with it. Research also suggests that our brains are wired to seek pleasure and to avoid pain. The reason why we don't want to do these things is because we fear what the outcome might be. We fear retribution, repercussions, perhaps a slap on the wrist in a professional sense that you missed the mark, you didn't do it quite right. And none of those things feel good to us. They are akin to pain. And therefore, it's easy for us then to enact procrastination and all full-on avoidance and start to find ways to wiggle our way out of that whole situation altogether. Let me tell you, when you're looking for reasons or excuses or suggestions as to why you shouldn't be the one, you will have them readily available and in high abundance. What's the core problem here, though, family? What's the core problem? I want you to think about that for a minute. The core problem is avoidance only provides you with temporary relief from the discomfort, but it also and often leads to long-term consequences. When we reinforce a pattern of escapism, we're perpetuating feelings of guilt, inadequacy, identity issues, and possibly low self-esteem. At the core of why all of this stuff is jumping off in our head, in our emotions, and we're bringing all of the memories forward to align with it, it's because of these items: guilt, inadequacy, our identity or problems thereof with it, and low self-esteem. Chronic avoidance, we know, impedes personal development. Do that consistently for a few weeks and months, you'll find that it'll also impede your professional growth. And when you've got something that is halting your progress in both of the arenas that you've got to play nice in, we have the making of a pretty significant problem. We know that there are various reasons why we resort to avoidance, some of which are the fear of failure, as we've said. We might not complete the task at the level in which the expectation has been understood. Then there's stuff that we add to it, like perfectionism. Then there's the identity piece we just mentioned, lack of confidence. Then there's just plain old anxiety because we're outside of the area where we've always been comfortable, where we've had our stuff sort of down pat. All of these factors come in to create the behavior, then the response to the behavior that we're talking about today. If you're just now tuning in, we're talking about what are you avoiding. Avoidance can be a coping mechanism for some people as well, because dealing with stress is hard for a lot of people. They don't know how to release from it properly. If they just escape, then they get a sigh of relief. They get a little bit of comfort from not having to deal with it right now. But we don't want to complete that thought without saying, when we do that, there are consequences. Someone's going to say, well, I've been doing this so long, I just don't know how to stop it. And I concur with that statement. When an individual has been doing this for, let's say, years, not consistently, but as something comes up that falls into this category that pushes them outside of their comfort zone, that's not in the space that they have, you know, defined skill sets, capability, natural talent, innate understanding, any of those things that are pushing them to either a little outside of that left margin or a little outside of that right margin, that's going to be one that fits nicely into this narrative. This is a programmatic thing that has taken place over numerous years. We repetition everything into our being, and so we have to repetition it out. And this is where some of the factors that I want to share with you for undoing this come into play. For me, number one is always when I'm working on myself or I'm assisting others with working, doing deep work on themselves, is identifying the triggers. You've got to have a relationship with yourself. And we are just so busy doing all of the things that we do that we don't typically make any time for us to get to know us so we understand what makes us tick and what doesn't make us tick. Or in this case, what things are acting as triggers in our internal environment, in our external environment, that are going to cause us to feel some kind of way about being outside of those left and right margins. That takes time, family. It's a concentrated effort. It's intentional, where you move yourself out of all of the cares of life into a quiet, comfortable space on a dedicated basis, often like 5 times a week minimum, for a designated period of time, 15 minutes minimal, if you can do one in the morning and one in the evening, that's even better. High achievers, add one midday. This is concentrated time just for you to connect with you. What's going on the inside right now? What are we thinking? What are we feeling? What are we concerned about? And you don't want all of that in your head. You want to write that down. So as you're thinking about these triggers, don't just let them rumble through your head, family. Write them down. So we have, over a period of weeks, an exhaustive list that we can start to identify the specific tasks or situations that we tend to avoid or those that we want to escape from. Because understanding the triggers and why we need to avoid or escape is going to be foundational for the rest of these things that I'm going to share with you to build on. Once we understand, over a couple of weeks of journaling and spending some quality time with ourselves, going over the exact same topic until nothing net new comes to mind. And if you want to overachieve again, you can bring people into your circle that you trust and that you've been doing life with for a very long time, and that will understand a question like, hey, can you help me understand things that you have seen that have triggered me, that have made me want to avoid something, to escape from something, or procrastinate, and see what they tell you. Write it all down. So you got a comprehensive list of all the things, and then you can jump to number two, challenge negative thoughts. On that list that you've just taken a look at, that you've constructed, that has all of your triggers, you're going to be looking for those comments that you are making to yourself that you fear others will make if you don't hit the proverbial mark. And you want to begin to challenge those thoughts. You want to begin to understand, what is it that I'm so concerned about in this effort? Then having that understanding, reframing it. If you're going to feel some kind of way about something, family, you should have an abundance of evidence to prove it one way or another. And more often than not, literally 8.5 out of 10 times, when we do this and we are looking at challenging the negative thought and we're asking ourselves and others for the evidence, it's not readily abundant. What we'll find 8.5 out of 10 times is that we've made this whole set of circumstance up very elaborately in our minds, but there won't be any evidence to go with it other than we've seen something like this perhaps in the past, and it is that in and of itself that is creating the discomfort with the task at hand. Thoughts and beliefs fuel avoidance. This is a behavioral situation. By challenging your thoughts and examining the validity, then replacing them through reframing with some positive, realistic perspectives and outcomes, you will quickly determine, after that process has been completed, that it's not that big of a deal after all. Once you've gotten that down pat, then you come back around to how you got there, which is, we're going to turn on some self-compassion. When we're practicing self-compassion in the spirit of loving ourselves and caring about how we interact with ourselves, you just got to learn how to be kind to you. It's okay for you to forgive you, to let you off the hook, so to speak. I do it all the time. In fact, I do it every single day. I am what you would call a type A personality. I didn't choose to be this way. I just think life came together in such a way and the universe concurred that this is how he's going to be. I tried to deny it for quite some time, but what I found is, that's just me. I'm type A. I have a tremendous propensity to be very critical of myself, in my delivery, in my execution, in my planning, and my outcomes, etc. But over the past couple of years, I really learned that taking it easy letting some stuff go, practicing 80-20, allowing a B to be okay and to be sufficient to move me past a milestone to the next milestone is perfectly acceptable. You should feel the same way. You should practice the same construct. Be kind to yourself. Avoid that critical voice. Shut that guy or gal down. They don't deserve to be a part of you. If they're not whispering something real good in your ear, shut them down. Because it's in overtaking the critical components and replacing them with love, genuine care, and concern that we begin to literally rewire this whole behavioral pattern to the point that after we've done it a few times and we see that the outcome can be achieved, the task is not as hard as we thought, and the evidence for all the negativity isn't present, it's then that we're ready for number four. And that is to be able to look at this glass half full and set clear goals and deadlines. Instead of kicking the can, doing some procrastination and some avoidance, we're past that now because we've identified our triggers. We've challenged the negative thoughts and reframed them. We're practicing some good old-fashioned self-compassion and we're loving on ourselves. So now we know we can do it and we will do it. Now we're just getting tactically focused. We're going to establish clear goals. We're going to set a deadline and we're going to aim to beat the deadline, not come right up to it in case we need a little time to rework this, that, or the other, that we hit the milestone that's needed. When you have specific objectives defined and you have a timeline, this helps you to sustain accountability. The greatest amount of time working with clients on is accountability. They know what to do. You guys know what to do, but there isn't any mechanism that you're deploying right now to help you remain accountable. This does that for you. And it also will reduce that inclination to procrastinate. These are the four things, family, that you can begin to do immediately that will stop the avoidance behavior. I don't want to remind you, but I'm going to remind you that avoidance, it most certainly will offer some short-term relief. But confronting this thing head on with the tools we've shared with you today is going to give you numerous benefits, and it's going to allow you to insert and inject into this pattern to stop it long enough where you can put these tools to work for you to cultivate resilience, to give you problem-solving capability, to change how you feel about your identity, and to get you the confidence that you need to move forward, all of which are going to be paramount for you to continue to have personal and professional success. And success is not merely the absence of obstacles, but it's more so this ability that you now possess to confront and overcome the things that are trying to stop you. You do it once, now you have a ready example for the next one that you can look back at and use that for momentum and fuel to fight your next battle, to press through your next challenge, to overcome the next barrier. Acknowledging and challenging avoidance behavior is one of the things that you must do to unlock your full potential. Thank you so much for tuning in. That concludes this episode. I appreciate your time and your attention. You can reach me on IG at Your Thought Life, Y-O-R, Thought Life, no spaces. And I want to remind you that you are enough. You can do it, and you are uniquely equipped to realize your goals. Until next time, take care and be safe.